Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
It's time to feel the rage. Join us on Film Rage, where we talk movies, current releases, coming attractions, streaming, and classic films as well. Directors and actors, beware, as you cannot hide from the rage. My name is Bryce, and I'm part of the Film Rage crew, which also includes Jim.
Hey, hey.
And Murray.
Yo.
Why is it you always talk all the time? I can't understand why
you're the voice. This is the Merman, the voice of reason. These two can't agree on anything most of the time. Some movies are Mondo, some are just... Every week, something is going to make us rage. Join us every Wednesday and
feel the rage.
It's a new age of combat.
Human beings, genetically engineered to be the best fighters in history.
Two champions.
It isn't over until someone wins.
At war with each other.
Achilles, I have already killed you.
Welcome to the last episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hey.
This week, we're discussing the science fiction classic, Robot Jocks, starring some actors. You may recognize them. They may be vaguely recognizable. Perhaps.
Well, they just may look like other actors that were more successful.
That is a problem. This week, we've got two special guests, our friends from the Uncut Gems podcast. We have Jakob and Randy. How's it going?
Hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here. I'm so excited for this.
Each week on the podcast, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre. With a comedic twist. I've got to say, Robot Jocks actually was one of your guys' suggestions. And I want to know why.
One.
I'm surprised.
One of us, guys.
It seems very Kevin-esque.
Look, this was mine. Because like when you guys reached out, it's like, oh, do you want to come on the show? Like, you know, throw a few suggestions. So like we just, like Randy put a few together. I put a few together and you guys just like, took one out of the hat. I'm just like, score, because I get to buy the Arrow box set, right? No, but I do have a story with this.
Please.
Yeah, this may be maybe one of the first films I've ever rented at the ripe age of like 8 or whatever. Like I went to a VHS rental place back in the middle of, you know, nowhere in Poland, and I saw this cover, these two robots standing like this. You know, and I was just like, because I was into like Transformers. I was into Transformers.
I was going to say, because you thought it was the Transformers more than meets the eye.
Absolutely. And also I was very much into, because on the morning cartoons, we had Toshio Daimas, which is like an anime from 1978 or 9, which is not for kids. Because it's violent and everything, but you know, it's kind of like Pacific Rim essentially. But and I was just like, I was into robots and everything, and then I watched this, and actually at the right page of it, I was just like, this is cinema, you know.
This is the apex.
I love this, and I And I needed an excuse to watch this again, so I did. I'm not going to spill any more perils for now, but yeah, this is kind of just like, okay. Because it's either we do it on our show, we have to find a reason to do this on our show, or it's just like, this is a perfect opportunity to do this.
So that's yeah, so of... thanks. This ticks a box for us, so this is good. I don't have this background. I had Voltron in my life. That was the big Absolutely. Robot in my existence growing up, and that's about it.
Well, I mean, as a kid in the 80s, watch. All the cartoons were kids or people climbing into giant robots and fighting monsters and shit. I mean, yep. what else? You had like Robotech, which is like yep. Macross mm-hmm. or whatever. It was constantly people climbing. I think the Thundercats climbed into something as well. I mean, there's yep. all sorts of...
You had, like in the 90s, you also had Power Rangers. They also made a robot out of whatever they were doing. You know, like, red power and everything. Weird enough, I think the white Power Ranger
getting into the politics. We're getting into the politics.
I was going to say, did one of the Power Rangers murder someone?
Yes.
Oh shit!
I think so. Yeah, it gets really dark really quickly. But yeah, so I was looking forward to this because I was like 4 days. I was like, let's just call it down with the sickness. So it was just like with a real nasty cold. So I watched Robot Jocks, I watched Crash and Burn, I watched Robot Wars, I watched Dolls and Fortress. So yeah, I'm ready for this, baby.
Now, Aaron, how are you feeling about all this? Tom Ford.
I have never heard of this movie. I never saw this movie before. I had a terrible day at work and sat down to watch this masterpiece. And then I needed a drink. So yes. wash it away. I, being a girl, was not that interested in Transformers.
Okay, fair enough.
But there was some surprise pubic hair in here. So, and not from the ladies.
Yes.
Yep.
They dabble.
Yeah, let's just throw that out there. It's like if you could, the pretend Timothy Oliphant was flashing all kinds of stuff.
Do you know what he looked like to me? I always forget the guy's name, but when he's wearing a suit, he looks like Laura Palmer's dad.
Oh, Ray Wise.
Yes, that's the one. I always forget his name. Yeah, yes. That's the one. And it's in my life, in my head, he lives like as Laura Palmer's dad.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I saw him as Chris Kattan personally, but...
Oh, Lord. We're all over the map here. I thought the Russian guy looked like the lead singer of Chicago. So here we are.
Ooh. Yeah.
Peter Cetera, the evil Peter Cetera.
Yeah. Well, he's not supposed to be Russian.
Is there
it's
any other kind of Peter Cetera? I just assume he's evil.
Yeah. They weren't supposed to be Russian. Is that what you said? Because they said they're Russian-y to me.
They're
be honest.
Not Russian, okay? We're trying to stay apolitical. They're Confederates.
50 years after the next nuclear war, right?
Right. And yet it's still assuming basically that America versus the Soviets, right?
But didn't we assume it's like 2041? So it's essentially like the nuclear war took place in like the early 90s. So
That's true. Well, when did this movie it came out in 89, something like that, thereabouts?
I think it came out in 1990. It was supposed to come out in 1989, came out in 1990. And I want to say the technical term, I think, would be jack shit. The box office.
So, I remember the commercials for this on the TV. Where,
oh, really?
It was delayed for a year. And actually, it was delayed so much, I think, that the novelization came out before. So it's technically based on a book.
The novelization, the pamphlet, the leaflet. Yeah,
it was nominated for a Pulitzer, you know.
Yeah. I remember Achilles, like, going, I'm going to get in this thing and kick your... And they couldn't say ass on mm-hmm. TV at that time, so they just cut to a robot falling down. There's a lot of robots falling down in this movie.
Stable as a Godzilla monster. It's like a cool breeze would just cause it to tip over.
It's the easiest puppeteering, right?
Yep.
Fred, tip it over.
That and the slow motion fighting.
Yes. There was a lot of
yep.
Now,
a very undignified falling over.
That's true. Aaron and I had never seen this before. This is both of our first viewing.
What? I thought for sure you own this, Kevin. No, I thought this be?
Same. I was thinking like this is such a Kevin here, movie. So am I the only like?
You're
I
the
don't
one,
know.
Bro.
You're I'm, the one. With
the only one who's keeping
this,
it real in here. What is going on?
Oh, I'll be keeping it real pretty quick. Don't you worry.
I gotta be honest. This is not good. Like, this movie is not great.
I have a full page of notes.
Oh my goodness. How can I? I'm reeling with this realization. Yeah. My first note was literally like, so crappy. That was the first thing I wrote down. Good Lord.
Because you thought you might forget it.
That's right.
You better jot that down.
Why don't we jump right in to the highlights? What do you guys got? What moments spoke to you, if you will?
I already brought up the pubic hair and butt shots, only of the male star, really.
Yep. Well, you see Athena's butt.
You see her rump, but right. He was trying to give us a little something else.
Well, this is the future where men and women use the same locker room. This is constant. Like, you see this in Starship Troopers and RoboCop.
About to say that.
Yeah.
It's in the future, they don't care. They're like, whatever.
It's a Verhoevenverse.
All co-ed bathrooms.
It's all these
Christian
like,
film.
Yeah.
It's
you
woke.
Can't lose.
It's woke, and I'm tired of it.
Look. I think it's the future. So they like you know. Remember what's Blade Runner 2049, where Ryan Gosling takes like 3 second showers. Water is really probably very scarce. So all they have to just like clump up in this one room, just take 10 second showers. That's it. We're done.
Just recycling the old dirt water. Yeah.
Soylent Green.
And is that also why they also have the same terrible haircut that does not flatter African American hair in a way whatsoever?
I thought that was a test tube baby thing.
Yeah, because they were all engineered by the lady from Dolls.
100%.
They all had to have a weird little pigtail up in
the back. Loop.
Yeah, but what was it like the Padawan braid? No, they all have a Padawan braid because they have a little man bun.
Like it's a little scorpion tail hanging on the back. It was very bizarre. It was very bizarre.
It was really making the man bun seem better. It really does. I would prefer a man bun to the weird pigtail.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, they make those choices like, this is the future. We do shit just a little bit differently. You know what I mean? And then they make like totally bizarre choices. It was like, here's a weird little hairstyle only the test tube children have for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they're born with braided hair. Yeah.
Wait, tell them from the others.
They will make these choices as in like, look, it's the future, so we have to mess with some things. But people still have like a landline by the bed. So you know, that's just a
fun. Yeah, and it's like tangled and flying around.
CRT monitors.
Yeah, it's
He has a remote control for his car, the size of like a.
Yes.
I can't even remember the old video game.
I had a note, car. A gigantic fob.
I mean the Stuart Gordon and Charles Band, they couldn't afford the futurists that Steve Spielberg had on Minority Report. You know.
Clearly. But let's talk about that. This is Charles Band before Full Moon Entertainment.
Yep.
This is Stuart Gordon. It's basically the cast, if you're paying attention, it's the cast of Dolls brought back.
I saw her right away.
Yeah. And she makes so many cool faces when the robots are fighting. She's just... Yes. I mean, do you know what she looks like to me? Like Emperor Palpatine when like Hayden's Christensen's fighting with, what's his face, Christopher Lee. Yes. Kill him. Yes.
It's exactly
very
right.
Excited.
They were using stop motion animation to make these horrible things move around a little bit. And my question is, why not just have like dudes in suits at that point?
Like the old Godzilla?
Absolutely.
It would have been just as effective, I think.
Well, they're more articulate.
But then you couldn't transform it. You can't transform it.
It'd feel a little bit more Beastie Boys, I would have to think.
That is true.
Which I'm not necessarily against.
Right.
If you have to go cheap, I'm okay with this. I'm okay.
They definitely needed more Beastie Boys in this.
And this could be cynical. They probably hired the puppeteer already and they were just like, we're doing stop motion because we have a stop motion guy, so we're doing stop motion. Or
let's go.
Or maybe it's because like RoboCop was doing stop motion, so it's like, we gotta do stop motion. Like, everyone's doing stop motion.
This is only a couple years before Jurassic Park. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And this is what they're serving up to the American public. When a couple years
like
later,
a 1% of its budget, no?
Yeah.
Fair.
I think the business model is probably a little different. This is the This is to go alongside Carnosaur. It's a couple years before Carnosaur was.
This movie looks like it just, you know, like these people who made this alongside Stuart Gordon were kind of just like fired off the set of Roger Corman Productions for being not professional enough.
Yes.
You know, that's
right.
So yeah, that's kind of where we are, I think.
Yeah. And we talked about this in a couple times last year about the financial potential of the bottom row, the bottom rack at the video store. All kinds of small crap showed up there, small budget. So someone on the business side knew how to make money from it. So
yeah, because it's like cost what, how much did it cost to make, like $1 million? Probably less than that.
Around 1 million, I think.
Sell like 100,000 copies at $10 a pop, like you're making money.
Well, and this was like the 70s into the 80s was that time of kind of that low budget film that still went to the theaters. You had all those Canon films that they were just pumping out, all the ninja movies.
Yep.
Roger Corman was doing his thing.
Yep.
Because
you didn't have any options like now. People went to the movies much more often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because now,
the video store. After a while, you've seen all this shit. So now you're looking at the bottom rack, and you just start pulling it off by the cover. That's how I used to buy wine back in the old days. Oh,
yeah, we were talking about this a while.
$3? All right.
Yeah, now this doesn't exist anymore because now it's just like the sort of like the bottom end of your Netflix library where no one ever even goes. So you don't even have eyes on this stuff anymore.
Black Hole of Calcutta down there, and don't go there.
Yeah, but some cool things in there. Like there's trash, and I always see a difference between trash and garbage. You know, trash is good. Garbage. Not so
my
much.
My wife will like go through there and on Prime as well. And she'll be like, well, I know this actor. This must be some shit. And we'll pop it in and watch 10 minutes. I'm like, honey, if you've never heard of it, if you've never heard of it, because that's the thing. It's like there are movies, there's something with like Morgan Freeman does a lot of crap, like straight to video stuff.
Yep. You know Tom Berenger did quite a lot.
Sure.
Do you know how many sequels to Sniper there are? Way too many.
And they're not all with Treat Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are
R.I.P. Everyone does. Yeah, and everyone does streaming now. Everyone except Jason Statham for some reason, who I don't know.
What does he do? I mean, he has a bunch of
stuff. The Beekeeper.
I saw the Beekeeper.
But he never does a straight-to-video project. It just blows my mind.
Because he has standards, Randy, okay?
Well, what is it? It's oh my God, who's the French director that he's in all his movies? Fifth Element.
Luc Besson.
He produces basically every Jason Statham movie, like all the Transporter movies.
Yep.
I mean, they're pumping those out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good on Statham.
And yeah, I suppose he's kind of like, you have the Statham, the Neesons, and the Butlers, they are kind of like now in the sort of the dad shelf. On Amazon Prime.
That's a good shelf. I'm not going to lie.
Love that stuff.
Dad shelf. Liam Neeson. He's like 85 years old, still jumping out of goddamn planes.
Well, you got it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's different. You know what I mean? I think that the dad shelf is different than kind of the asylum pictures. And you can't see, I'm like reaching all the way down to the ground. Where it's not, it's Transmorphers. Is their movie. Yeah. It's Atlantic Rim.
Atlantic Rim, yes.
Atlantic Rim.
Exactly, yeah.
They're trying to fool grandmother who might buy their grandson a movie. And they're like, I don't know, looks good.
Yeah. you know, this thing happens. Like, what was it? Like, I saw a YouTube video like years ago from like some unboxing at Christmas. The grandpa bought his grandson a copy of Mein Kampf because he misheard the kid liked Minecraft, you know?
That is the best. I've never heard that before.
Oh, I was just like, wow.
Nailed like, it, Grampy.
I was just like, why does he want this? I don't know, like kids
that's
these days. Bottles of hard lit.
Okay, let me get the train back on the tracks here. So back to Robot Jocks. Honestly, it's like the battles would last for 2 minutes because they'd shoot like lasers and shit at each other and to no avail. Then the Confederation guy would kind of hit Achilles, who probably just lay down on the ground. Keeping in mind that these things are like, what, 100 feet tall? If you drove your car off a 100-foot bridge, you'd be dead, right?
They're just bouncing around inside of there. That seems like a really bad idea.
Is this what you expected when the robot like keels over and cut to the inside of the cockpit and it's just minced beef everywhere?
I think they're fastened in pretty tightly because they have these cockpits. This is what I was razzing Jakob about, is like all these cockpits in Pacific Rim and in Robot Jocks, like
it all stands like there.
It's like Peloton or sorry, like Dance Dance Revolution or something. Yeah. You gotta why can't a cockpit have a chair?
Randy, like your inner child, like you euthanized your inner child. At least I keep mine in a coma. Give it sponge baths or something.
They were bad years.
Like this all comes back to anime, because like I remember the Toshio Daimon's anime I watched as a kid had this sort of like Pacific Rim thing that, you know, like there was this guy in a cockpit in a massive transformer who did karate chops, you know, and the robot recreated those. So that's kind of where Robot Jocks has the same.
Well, they pull out a huge sword.
It does.
As a giant robot. How big is that goddamn sword, by the way? If you're one of those, you know what I'm saying? It's like freaking, anyway.
Yeah, pretty big, yeah. Although I do like in here when the robot keels over and the Russian has like a special move and he has this detachable fist and he just like, boom, boom, boom. And he also has a special weapon because he then unveils this massive chainsaw dick.
Yes, I did write that down.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is going in my notes.
And goes right for the face. That's upsetting.
Womp, womp.
Got a show business.
Well, that was a bit of an issue too, right? Because didn't Stuart Gordon, he was saying that this is for kids, and the producer was saying, but we're seeing butts.
Yeah.
We're seeing
and also
butts.
This robot has a massive dong.
We're seeing chainsaw genitals.
Yes, this was an issue. It was the writer, the guy who wrote the script, evidently was on set every day.
Okay.
And battling with Stuart Gordon, who wanted to be kind of fun and campy, and the other guy's like, no, I want a dark vision. A post-apocalyptic
vision that involves a chainsaw penis.
Yes.
That's all part of the future.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
But still, like, I know it's fun and campy, and just like if Stuart Gordon wants it for kids, I'm pretty sure like when the scene where the robot keels over the stands and kills like 500 million people, and they're all, and all of a sudden this is like Stuart Gordon's like, this is my time. Okay, well, like, makeup guys, like, just make them look like they're from beyond, you know? Just melting faces everywhere.
Yes. My son. Yes, a child. Like, here's a little child on his dad's shoulders. Oh shit, a giant robot is about to sit on us. Crunch.
I mean, it could have just like...
They actually just look like peasants, I gotta say, from Monty Python and the Holy Grail or something.
Yeah, and they were also betting on this, like wearing masks and betting. It was kind of like the Running Man almost.
Yes, yeah. But the mask, very prescient, right?
They
were inside wearing the masks.
Another pandemic.
Someone went to Home Depot and bought a whole case of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. N95s.
Were they N95s or were they just like these sort of like painted masks?
No, those are like your the dude who paints your living room's mask. Yeah.
It's not going to stop the Rona.
It's absolutely not going to stop the Rona. Lord. What else you got?
Bar was fun. The bar. The bar scene. The top
Stuart
gun
Gordon.
Bar. where
Stuart Gordon
goes.
Is the bartender, by the way.
Oh shit, I didn't notice that.
I didn't know that either. I just thought this was a fun place for the guy to go moan about not being able to read.
Yeah.
And all the women extras look like they're figure skaters. It's absolutely the craziest.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
And everyone has like everyone's part of the same like Skidoo club or something with their outfits. It's just crazy.
First of all, what is a Skidoo club?
You tell me.
Welcome to Canada.
The national pastime.
Where we finally here have a nice layer of soft snow going behind my house. I haven't heard skidoos since last winter, and now they're zipping by every couple hours. So yeah, people get together and they go out on the skidoo trail, and they stop off at coffee shops, and they often, for some reason, I don't belong to one, they have the same swag. They're just wearing the same
What
gear.
Is a skidoo?
Is it like a snowmobile?
Is it a snowmobile?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, right. I mean, it's just like you're telling me this like it's obvious.
Randy.
I know what a ski-doo is, but that's more for liquid water.
Right. So that, I think, company. I'm pretty sure the ski-doo was first. Anyway, ski-doo is a snowmobile.
Oh.
Look at
yeah.
that.
It's 67 degrees here, so no snow.
It's like minus 12 or so Fahrenheit, I would say here.
I can't help you. I think in Celsius.
I know 40 is hot and 0 is cold.
No,
how about
it's
that?
Hopeless.
That's my Celsius.
It's hopeless.
Celsius is pretty radical. Like 0 is cold, 100 is you die, minus 100 is you die. You know.
Pretty straightforward, I would say.
Yeah, it's nicely in base 10 too.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Exactly.
That's helpful. So at the beginning of the movie, the Alexander, the evil Confederation dude, like uses robot to just stomp a dude to death. He's like giving up. He's like, oh, my back gets crunched. And it was like the worst anime. It was like a crazy, like a Lego foot coming down and shit. I was like, what is happening?
It was Saturday morning cartoon level.
Yep.
Special effects.
Yes.
100%. Yep.
It was it's like a marionette. That's what I wanted. You know, it was straight coming down.
See, this is where I, because I hadn't seen this movie in exactly 3 years, right? So it was just like, this movie starts like this. And I remember when I was like 8, I saw this scene. And I'm like, hell yeah. This is it. I'm watching this now and I'm like, uh-oh. This is not good. This doesn't look good at all. Like, there's no amount of nostalgia that can do this much heavy lifting.
Yes,
that's true.
So
we've been burned by that before. Where at movies of our childhood, we're like, oh shit, this is a classic. It's a masterpiece. And then you show your friends as an adult, and they look at you like you need to be in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a few like this.
Highlander.
Oh, what did I have recently that did that for me? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Turtles on a half shell.
This was such a downer. I was just like, I used to love this, and I'm watching this like, this is not even remotely mediocre.
Yeah, this stuff I can't go back to either. Like, I can't go back and check out an episode of The Greatest American Hero. I'm just, I'm too scared. But man, I love that.
I can't believe myself.
I'll go back and listen to the song.
The song, you know, was a top 10 hit.
Absolutely.
Billy Cat, fresh off of Carrie.
That's right. Robert Culp, yep.
Yeah.
So there's no rule against stomping your opponent after they've already given up, evidently.
Apparently no. Apparently it's also customary to do so because these Confederates, they just go through pilots like it's nothing, right?
Yeah. I think it's the ref's discretion.
Well, at the end, they disqualify him because he doesn't leave the field in enough time or some shit. It's like, what?
They disqualified him because he crunched the referee ship.
No, they were gonna disqualify him before that. They're like,
because he left the cockpit. Yeah. Did he not?
No. It was before.
No, the Russian dude.
The Confederation dude had won the final match.
And he was going to stomp the clone girl.
And he was like hanging out, and they're like, you need to leave or you'll disqualify. And he's like, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to hang out here anyway. And I'm
gonna stomp her.
Now it's against the rules. But earlier, stomp away.
I mean, let's be honest. The rule book is flimsy at best because they're just like the robot just, first of all, like the guy fires a rocket at a robot and he could just let it happen. Like, I think the casualties would be probably like three people would be kind of grazed and maybe one of them would have a, like, I don't know, some PTSD. That's it, right? But no, like 300 people die and the refs go, we think it's a draw.
You're also world territories in play here.
Oh, yeah.
It's Alaska.
Imperialism. And it's so Alaska.
Is this just like a gambling event and they put up territory or is somebody want the territory so they set up this challenge? Is that what it is?
Yes. War has been outlawed in the future after the nuclear war. So like all kind of disputes are handled with giant fucking robots.
Yes. So if I just want like Ireland and I have a robot that I can throw a challenge out. Look, and if I win, hey, good for me.
But there are only two world powers in that sense. It's like risk.
Exactly. If they had any like official sequels to this, I bet you money there would be some maps. And in order to advance to Alaska, you have to take like, I don't know, some Canadian province next door and you have to have some units.
You have to have that buffer and risk, you know. You can't just be out there floating around.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just... I don't know. I feel like going to Alaska now, you have to just build up to it. So, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's got to be some rules. And
what
some
did they say? That he'd killed the last nine dudes? So the only Achilles was left at this point?
Well, this makes no sense, right?
This goes on forever?
Because Achilles has like nine
winning streak too.
Yeah, so he has nine game winning streak. So that suggests that there's another player in the game.
There's
some, I don't know, union. I don't know. They called market and conversion just such
fighting
a bummer.
For Madagascar or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to kill your opponent to win because the dude gave up at the beginning of the movie and the ref said, oh, you're the winner. And he's still like, I'm still going to stop this dude. Sorry.
I think he got permission. It was like some kind of Roman, you know, go for it.
I don't
he's
think
like tapping
so.
Out.
He was.
Yeah.
My
back's broke. Don't stop me. Like, I'm doing it anyway because I'm evil. I'm extra evil.
He had good core movement for someone whose back broke. Like, he was no, don't.
It was probably just a little sciatica or something.
It was a little sciatica.
Like bursitis bothered him.
Who they needed was like Robert De Niro to go on full on method and just like pretend your back is broke and all he does is just lays there and goes like.
You should have just been screaming.
That's a good point. It seems like it would hurt if your back was broken.
Well, how are you having a conversation who's like that far away? He's up in a fucking like robot.
Hey! Guys!
Six stories up.
Right!
Like, why do I have to defend this? It's like Saruman in Lord of the Rings. He projects.
That's 100%. That's what I was thinking as well.
They just project very well. Maybe they have microphones and there's speakers everywhere. You know, I don't know. I don't make the rules. Ask Stuart.
Now, why? So Achilles was retiring because he was only under contract for 10 matches, right?
But he didn't like the kids dying or whatever. Because it was a draw, right? Mm-hmm. So they wanted him to come back, but no, he did his 10 because, you know, people die.
Is that worse?
That's the inner conflict, too, of wanting to move on and, you know.
Didn't he kill nine other people?
The alphabet.
Maybe he wasn't much for killing his opponents. He was just like, I win. I refuse to do fatality or something. I don't know. And just, he's noble or something, right? But then he just sees like 300 people die and he just moves in with his brother, right?
That was the worst. He moves in, yes. He retires and probably is like, hey, bro, I guess I'm sleeping on your couch forever.
Yeah.
Yep. That's cool. And 5 minutes later, he's back.
Yes.
But see, he can't read and he's sleeping in his nephew's bed with all these complicated books like Clifford the Big Red Dog beside him. He's like,
well, you got to start somewhere.
I'm going to unretire.
Because he couldn't read, so I want to see his like the cockpit they had. Like all he had was like pictograms of just like
yes.
A little.
No weapon was was a star, an origami star that they glued on.
Yes, that's crazy.
That
son.
Was for him.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a dumb dumb.
Because this guy Matsumoto couldn't leave him notes.
You can't put
I'll send you
on
a video.
Button.
I'll send you a video that you can watch. Because Lord knows you cannot fucking read.
Now use your right hand. No, 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 your other right hand.
Yes. There's a lot of that.
And the L is for the left. Oh God, you don't even know L. Yeah. Poor guy. There's a social commentary in here if we dig really deep.
And he's the like think about it. He's the best of the best. Like the it's not just like a people off the street, you know, that they just hire to like drive these robots. This is like years of training. These are like, you know, this is Top Gun. Like these guys are
this is Rollerball.
This is Rollerball. Yeah. They're like this, like some
This is Maverick.
Right. We know he's the best because there's that crazy kung fu scene in the workout room where he's kicking everybody's ass in slow motion, might I add. Hey, look at this. Where he's like, I gotta get my leg up here. Give me a second. There's a lot of that good stuff.
And and think about it. Guillermo del Toro watches this. He goes like, I'm going to put it in my movie.
Because
Pacific Rim is the exact same scene.
It is.
Too fast, guys. Slow it down.
Yeah.
Slow it down. What, did you notice? Am I crazy? His brother had like the fakest beard on. Like he was in Witness Protection Program. Go back and look.
I didn't catch that. It's kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi in Attack of the Clones. It's just like a poor job.
But it's like, why put a... If you don't have a beard, then just don't have a beard. Why was it important? He's not Rip Van Winkle.
Because it's in the script, Kevin.
It's the future.
He speaks to his bearded brother. Oh,
that's
shit.
Right. There must be a chainsaw penis, yes. And the brother must have a beard. It's pivotal.
It's pivotal.
Exactly. What's this guy's name? Holderman? Like, he must have been a real piece of work. He goes just like, oh, Christ, I can't have another battle, says Stuart. Like, let him have the beard.
All the citizens have COVID.
Because I imagine that the beard is important to the character. Okay. So... Absolutely.
Maybe the beard like is like the mask. If you just grow that mustache down right over your face, it works like a mask.
You think so? It's a filter system. Hanging
it's like
out.
It's like a filter. Yeah.
Interesting.
For this, like if you want to look like a Cthulhu but with just hair.
Yes, it is absolutely Cthulhu.
Again, Stuart
that's
Gordon.
All is discussed in part two, I'm sure.
More robot jacks. Absolutely. Now, they establish very early on that there's a spy in their midst. And I had to say, I knew who the spy was. Like
Immediately.
There aren't enough characters to have it be anybody else, right?
Yep. Yeah, it has to be.
There's not enough budget to support a cast.
The guy in a cowboy hat who just... Like, what kind of a douchebag wears a cowboy hat everywhere? Like, indoors, he's just like, ma'am.
And he's wearing, like, football pads. That was not him underneath there. He had, like, football pads on underneath that. It was ridiculous.
Like, I want to know if this was the actor's idea. I was just like, I have a great idea for my character. He's going to wear football pads and a cowboy hat. Just to signify how much of a badass he is. Or maybe it was, again, the screenwriter goes like, Mike, the character has to have a cowboy hat.
I thought he was like supposed to be like Slim Pickens in Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was vibing off of.
That's what I'm going for.
I felt he was Jim Ross. I thought it was Jim Ross from World Wrestling. Yeah. Federation. That's who I thought it was at first. So he'd be the right age, looked like him.
If your name is Tex, you're going to wear a cowboy hat. That's just
naturally.
A rule.
Around that.
It's a rule.
Naturally. I could imagine that the screenwriter, what's his face, had the exact same conversation with Stuart Gordon. Just like, I don't want this guy wearing a cowboy hat. He's drawing attention to himself. It was just like, his name is Tex. He has to have a cowboy
hat. Or alternatively, as the writer, I'm changing the character name to Tex. And so you have no choice.
That's right. You'll be legally obligated to give him a hat.
Absolutely. If he was Fred, he doesn't have to wear the hat, right?
What would a Fred have to wear?
You wear something else. I don't know. Some other thing. A sombrero. Who's to say?
I imagine a Fred would have to have a mustache.
Or a fake beard, right?
Or a fake beard.
Look, if they had one, throw it on him. Why not?
I think that's just science.
It is, yeah. I think it's the law, you know.
It is. International law, no question. Yeah. What else you guys got? Any other highlights?
Oh, what's the when Athena comes in here to put Achilles to sleep, and she just stabs him with a syringe, and he's slowly losing his faculties as they fight.
And for 5 or 6 hours, he doesn't even really take a nap. He still just shows up. I think he just took some allergy. She gave him a shot of allergy medication, and it made him a little groggy, and he just went about his business. All that dust, he forgot his mask. It was giving him a little hay fever.
Yeah.
But on this scene, I like how they crash through the paper walls.
Oh. Yes!
And then lead outside. And then they end up with just some hollow space.
Because I had to go back and see, because he was trying like his damnedest to get out of this room because he was trapped in this room. And didn't he just smash through his paper walls? Can't he just step through into the hallway?
He looked through.
He looked
paper
through
the wall. Shit.
It's just, is she gone?
No.
He's messed up the doorknob from the other side. What will I do? Yes. It's a steel door with paper walls. Yeah. Good thinking.
Yep.
Sweet.
It's exactly
the future.
What it is. It's the future.
A futuristic condo.
The condo has such a Soylent Green vibe. Like this, all this needed was like Charlton Heston to just walk past to his room
with a scarf.
It was so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good.
I love it. I love all the Charlton Heston post-apocalyptic movies. I love Soylent Green. I love the Omega Man, Planet of the Apes. I'm in.
You have to. You gotta.
Now you gotta see Skyjacked because it's right in between them.
That's obviously a Charlton Heston.
Oh, yes.
Is it?
Yeah, it must be. I saw Airport 75, another Heston flick where he's fighting off, the plane's going to crash into a mountain with Karen Black. We got to add that to the list.
Hey, if Karen Black is on your flight, you just need to know to get off. It's like Final Destination and you hear John Denver. Get off.
Yeah.
Just get off. Absolutely. No question. In the final scene, there is an extended, I swear to God, it felt like an hour and a half, of the Russian guy and our hero just duking it out, like in the wasteland. So goddamn long.
We can live! That was the worst.
Oh.
I'm like, what the fuck? This dude was just stomping people like grapes just for fun. And he's like, you're right.
9 of your friends are dead. They're like chewing gum under his boot. Okay? And you're... Sweet Jesus. But he drops the rock. Okay, we're friends now.
Yeah,
think about it.
Cool.
Einstein said, I don't know what the Third World War is going to be fought with, but I know the fourth one is going to be fought with sticks and stones. What do they have? One has a stick. The other one has a stone.
That's deep, That's a deep
I know.
Albert Einstein knew. He predicted.
He predicted robot jobs.
This is like I've put more thought into this movie than I think people who made it.
I was going to say, the writer.
I'm starting to think you didn't go to work this week either.
Oh, no, that was last Sunday. I mean, yes, I was like nice and sober for this because I sat down and was just like, okay, let's do this.
Newspaper
I'm doing a dissertation on this bit.
Oh, yeah. I was just like,
we're only robot jocks.
Any other thoughts and feelings before we go behind the scenes?
Oh, we should talk about the Jungle Gym.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Pull tab beer.
That's what they have in the future. What?
That's what they have in the future. We're going back to the pull tab where you drop it in your beer and then you choke to death on it. Yay! Unless your friend dropped a cigarette in it.
Yep. You got it.
Go ahead.
Yep.
That was all I had.
Oh, the Jungle Gym at least deserves a mention. The Jungle Gym Challenge. Great, right. Jungle Gym.
Well, what was like, that's called? We used it was to called play. Like the Rattle Room or some shit.
The Rattle, yeah, something like that.
I mean, what kind of a company is this? Like, we breed all these pilots, and now we're going to ask them to just like climb this, and there are death traps in this. Some of this is electrified, and some of you may die on your way down.
And Holly it's was in a risk body cast to take. Afterwards because he fell to like 100 feet to the ground.
At the bar, that's right.
Because that proves you can then Peloton your way through a robot war.
Exactly.
You never see if them actually training up. Like to master the robots, right? You never see them like, oh, here's a mock, you know, robot that you're pilot. No.
No.
Just figured it out.
True, you never see a scene of them training on the Wii Fit board.
No, all you need is a kung fu session in a jungle gym, and you're good. You don't even have to
somersault. Look, you're solid.
It's probably the robot self. You don't have to know how to read to be the best at it. Okay,
that's true. So
it's not like a F-16 where you have to have, I don't know, at least a master's in some kind of an engineering subject, or I don't know, to understand the physics of, you know, like dragon, whatever.
Because my kids learned the Wii Fit board before they learned to read and write.
That's see?
That's all totally, they mastered the little sword game too with the Wii sticks. Yeah.
See?
So they're all ready to be robot jocks.
Makes sense.
They're ready. Robot jocks yes, and train. Did you breed them just for that?
They don't have the little pigtail swirl, the little Padawan swirl.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet. The day is young. let's go behind the scenes, shall we? Let's see. The screams of the spectators being crushed by the giant robot were later sampled in the song The Becoming by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, I'm going to have to, I got to write that down.
You know, because that's on the downward spiral. I've listened to this album like a million times and never connected the dots.
And that'll be your favorite song.
It should be, really. But the film's not that good.
An actual sequel to Robot Jocks was considered, but never made. Stuart Gordon, Gary Graham, and Paul Coslow would have returned as both director and stars, respectively, where Achilles and Alexander team up to stop an alien invasion.
Dude, yep. Considered means they were at a bar somewhere. They had a couple of drinks. They're like, what do you think? We could do it, right? Except this time we'll do this. And then they sobered up and never spoke of it again.
No, just next time we'll have another Robot Jocks with like blackjack and hookers and aliens and everything, right?
Absolutely.
But funny story, by the way. There's a film. It's all connected by the guy, Charles Band, who produced this, right? He produced the film. No, sorry. Directed a film called Crash and Burn, which has a giant robot at the end and has a giant robot on a VHS cover. And in where I grew up in Poland, it was titled Robot Jocks 2: Crash and Burn. And I rented this because I loved Robot Jocks as a kid. I'm going to watch this. I'm just like, false advertising. This is so bad. Right? Like, where's the robot? It's a lie. You know, where are the robot fights? Like, it's kind of like the Thing meets the Terminator in the world of Mad Max, with a giant robot at the end that's kind of like remote controlled. It's just not good. Yeah,
with Eva LaRue.
Yeah,
Eva LaRue's in that.
It's a classy move.
And they also did another, and Charles Band, I think he only produced it. He produced a film called Robot Wars, which I think is considered like an unofficial sequel to Robot Jocks.
I want to say that I've seen that. Did we watch Robot Wars, Kevin?
No, but I've heard of it.
Or am I thinking of the TV show?
Like, look, let's just say you're not missing out on much. It's on archive.org, so it's like you can watch it for free. And Jesus, okay, they have a scorpion robot. Because there's this wasteland where apparently there are some, like, I don't know, some like Tuscan raiders just fire at robots. And there's this robot, this like the size of like a massive Jaeger from Pacific Rim, but it's the shape of a scorpion. And it's also a bus, as in like you can board it and people use it as a mode of transportation. And it's the most uncomfortable transport. You can see people in the cockpit. It's kind of like the USS Enterprise in 1969 when everyone's just... It's just the best. It's so bad.
Almost cast Jean-Claude Van Damme in the lead role of Achilles.
Oh, this would have been so good.
Lost opportunity there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say, like, you know, like, I love JCVD, and I think, like, of all things considered, I think he dodged the bullet.
I mean, he was a cyborg.
Would it still been slowed down, or would just the opponents be like, you're going too fast? And then JCVD
robots would
just
be doing the splits, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, exactly. Like, where's the splits coming?
So
and is
after-
the robot... I imagine the big robot, the black robot, the Alexander robot, fires the rocket fist, and JCVD does a split in the cockpit, and the robot does a split and just dodges the thing, the rocket fist.
See, part two just writes itself.
I mean,
but the casting is key.
It's just absolutely. What we need is JCVD. You know, we just need him to. Because only he can deliver the split like nobody else.
And then Steven Seagal will be the bad guy.
Yes. As in real life, Seagal. Frankly.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he doesn't even have to get out of a chair. I don't know if you've seen, he's like done a few recent of action films where he just does action scenes in an office chair without standing up.
Yeah. He does not like to get out.
Just with a stick of the office car.
Yeah.
We talked about how the director and the writer would have battles. And one of the famous quotes was the director said, Joe, our problem is that you're writing a movie for adults that children can enjoy. And I'm directing a movie for children that adults can enjoy. So there you go.
And this is how Pixar was born.
It turned out no one enjoyed it.
Look, I did. I enjoyed it. I was a kid who enjoyed
it. Just one person.
Like, look, I kid you not, like, because I was, what, like 8, 9? So I point, because I didn't have my own money, like, come on, right? So I just asked me, can we have this for the day? And he goes, like, sure, like, let's just sit down and watch this. And he just, like, checked out 5 minutes and, like, this is garbage. So I just watched it all by myself. So, yeah, it was a film for kids that adults could not enjoy, apparently.
Stuart Gordon stated this is an action movie for kids. Even though it shows a crowd of screaming people being crushed and burned by a falling robot and a naked woman walking through a locker room full of men. Yet even with these scenes, it still managed to get a PG rating. Shocking.
which is where Paul Verhoeven says, like, what's wrong with that?
Empire Pictures went bankrupt during the filming of this. Its most expensive film ever. The film was bought by Epic Productions and finished and released nearly 2 full years after having first been started.
Yep.
Boom.
There you go.
Can you remind me how much it actually cost to make? It's like $1 million, right? No, less than that.
It was like $6.75 because they already had the robots.
Close enough.
It was the change in the couch, basically.
No, it's like six. It's like almost $10 million.
And it made $1 million?
Yep. That's exactly.
Let's talk about the cast.
That
and
sounds
crew.
Real.
Stuart Gordon is the director. You know him from such things as Reanimator.
Yes.
Classic.
From Beyond.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fortress.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dolls.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yes.
Castle Freak.
Yes.
I haven't seen that one. Guys, have you done the Fortress on the show?
I have never seen it.
Can I please make it on record, because we're now live, right?
Yep.
Can we come back for Fortress?
Well,
it's either we have to do like 90s prison escape movies on the show, and it's gonna be a bigger investment. And if you know, like, if you guys are willing to do a Fortress, like, I mean,
then we could check it off rather than doing a whole month of stuff from the bottom rack.
He's like, Randy's sick and tired of
all
my choices on
the bottom rack.
That's hilarious. Let's see. Gary Graham played Achilles. You know him from Robot Jocks.
Night at the Roxbury.
He was in, well, to me, he's most famous as
Deadwood, The Office.
He was on Alien Nation, the TV series.
Yes. He and, was. Yes, he was playing, the James Caan for TV.
He was the James Caan. The sad thing is, he literally just died on Tuesday.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So,
in his memory, we're doing the show.
Absolutely. Just saying. He was also on 12 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise from 2001-2005. Additional crew on The Jackal in 1997. I don't even know what that
additional
means.
Crew.
What do you mean additional crew? Like, was he the guy who's just like holding Jack or Jack Black's like stuff or whatever? Yes. I don't know. Love The Jackal, by the way.
Do you? What? You don't love The Jackal, really?
I mean, it's a terrible movie,
but
I have
theaters.
I feel like I've seen a movie called The Jackal.
I've seen this it since the theaters.
This is the Gear one, right?
Yeah, Richard Gere, yeah. Bruce Willis.
I hate it.
For me, this was a stunning reversal for Bruce Willis because this was the first time I think he played a villain.
Yes.
One of the only ones, maybe?
Since Miami Vice, I think.
Yeah. It's like, good stuff.
Anne Marie Johnson played Athena. You know her from 118 episodes of In the Heat of the Night.
Mm. I remember that.
Althea Tibbs. She was in JAG, 18 episodes on JAG, and 7 episodes of Days of Our Lives, which is frankly.
Good soap.
By the way, Gary Graham debuted in Hardcore.
Did he really?
I did see he was a child in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang also.
Okay, I'm going back to Gary Graham. Let me look at this. This is craziness.
Like this guy.
He was child in Castle in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I'm rolling all the way back.
He was in Steel with Shaq.
He was in... You guys are making up stuff. He was not... He was in one episode of Eight is Enough, one episode of Starsky and Hutch. One episode of David Cassidy, Man Undercover. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Well, I'm not even sure if I'm familiar with that.
He was in Hardcore, however, with George C. Scott. So check that out.
That was his first film role. this was supposed to be his big break. Like, I'm leaving TV. Like, this is it, like, guys. I'm gonna be Gregory Peck.
I thought for a second you were saying he started in Hardcore film.
No.
No,
that's where my head was for a second. Okay, I've caught it.
He played a guy called Todd.
Carry on.
I can't remember who the guy Todd was in Hardcore.
I don't remember that either.
I remember the movie, but I don't think I ever saw it.
George Todd was Scott the clerk.
Was the dad, right?
Yes, he was trying to find his daughter who fled to LA and was in porno movies. And when he found her, she was like, "Dad, you are the worst dad ever. I'm happier being in porn than going home with you back to Michigan."
That's the one.
That's spoiler. This is it. Hardcore the movie as summarized by Kevin. That's exactly what.
Hours of fun. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hours
the movie.
Of fun. You watch that with the family, Kevin?
Just laughing and laughing.
It's just like, meanwhile, the family is kind of like living vicariously through George C. Scott, going like, "Turn it off."
Pretty much. Turn it off. Paul Coslow, he played Alexander. You know him from The Omega Man in 1971. He played Dutch. I don't know who Dutch was.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Also in 71, he was in Vanishing Point as Deputy Charlie Scott. He was Limpy in The Losers in 1970. I don't even know what that means.
Limpy?
Limpy.
That's Hardcore Part 2, evidently.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
This was his porn name, like the guy in Hardcore's Jism Jim.
Limpy is not a good porn name, by the way, I have to say.
No.
It's not a strong one, is it?
It's a red herring kind of name, you know?
Hillary Mason played Professor Laplace. You know her from Don't Look Now as the clairvoyant Heather in 1973.
Yes, and
Dolls.
And she was Hillary Hartwick in 1986 in Dolls.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. And 9 episodes of Aquila from 1997-1998. So good stuff.
Okay.
Shall we look at the ratings?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Let's do this.
Were you able to find someone that wrote a review of this? Did it register anywhere?
Like, you look, if you prod me, I'm going to write an essay. There's going to be 2,000 words. Just like,
just take over the Wikipedia page.
They need it.
Of revisionist reviewing.
With 5 reviews, ooh, Robot Jocks currently is at 40%.
That seems high.
That's, we've reviewed West reviewed films.
Audience gave it 26.5%.
With 5,000 plus reviews, 42%. So there you go. So
question, generous. How many of them happened after Pacific Rim came out? Because I think in 2013, a lot of people discovered this and they were just like, let's fall in love with this campy piece of schlock because, you know, like, we're because Guillermo says it's amazing, you know? So, like, how, I don't know if I can trust them.
Did Guillermo say it's amazing, or are you putting words in his mouth?
I think he mentioned somewhere that he was just thinking like, I think he even mispronounced it. He was like, oh, there's this film called Robo Jocks. And I'm just thinking, like, let's do this, but with meets Godzilla or something. And everyone's like, what's this film he's talking about? And it's like, it's a Stuart Gordon film. Let's watch this. And I was just like, this is shit. It's just, but we're loving it anyway because Guillermo says it's amazing.
I think we can all agree that Guillermo's on the downward slide too, by the way.
Why do you say that? That's upsetting.
Because his stuff is shit since Pan's Labyrinth.
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. Poor Guillermo, if you're listening, no offense. There's only one top critic who reviewed Robot Jocks.
Is that Variety staff?
It is Rex Reed. No, it was Noel Murray from The Dissolve. Says,
I'm familiar with that. Yeah, there you go. I always read The Dissolve. That's how I get my news on YouTube.
That's it. Gordon's saving grace is that the stop motion animation and model work on Robot Jocks looks really cool, even now. 3 out of 5. That's a goddamn lie.
That's a goddamn lie.
I don't appreciate you, Noel Murray.
That's a lie.
Sweet Lord. What is your rating? Aaron, let's start with you.
I am going to give it 1 flying fist into my eye to stop me from ever watching this again out of 5.
Jakob, what's your rating?
Look, the 8-year-old in me wants to give it a 5er, but it's not. It's a 3. Because I'm still just like, look, I'm going to watch this again. I watched like all these unofficial sequels. I love that kind of crap. Even though like it's just like, it's not good. Like, I'm not going to go to work and recommend it to my colleagues. You know, just like, do you know what I watched last weekend? Robot Jocks. You have to see this.
Drop everything. Rush out to
So this is heavily nostalgia laced 3 out of 5. Okay. That's how I'm leaving it.
Fair enough. Fair. Randy, what do you got?
Okay. I can sit through this and I can put on a certain lens and see, okay, this is sort of the cheese that it is and not suffer through it. But yeah, at the end of the day, and in the spirit of, you know, being with you guys, I am going to give this 2 illiterate pilots out of 5.
At least two. Absolutely. Look, it's not good. We can all stipulate that. I've seen worse, though. I think we've all seen
worse.
So sure. I wouldn't give it a 1. I'm going to say 1.75 chainsaw.
Oh, well, you're right. That
eyeball.
Is so different.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
I hope you're sitting down. Yes, I mean, it's, again, I've seen worse, but it is not good.
I like it love is, how you just pull. You're all so polite.
Well, no, I honestly, when I say I've seen worse, I've seen some shit. Since we've done this show, I've seen some shit.
It's no Cannibal Holocaust, that's for sure.
No, not a single animal was de-shelled.
As far as we know.
As far as we don't know.
I can't claim that. Who knows?
People are saying.
Robots have feelings, you know?
They do. Absolutely.
Just the space operas.
So, the thank you very much. We're all over social media. Go to our pages on X. We're on, I'm on Blue Sky and Threads, and I don't know if anybody on Earth is. So if you happen to be there, say hello. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. You may be watching us on YouTube. Who's to say? For goodness sake. You can also email us at the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. Aaron, what is your social media?
I'm on Arty. I'm on First Dibs. I am the Cult of Aaron on the Insta and Threads and stuff and whatever.
Now, where can people go to see and listen to all of your guys' amazing stuff?
Should I take this?
Go for it.
Right. So the show is at Uncut Gems Pod everywhere on social media. We have a website, uncutgemspodcast.com. We don't have a YouTube outlet because we're afraid to show our faces. Hello world, you know? and then also, if you like our stuff, we also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where we just do extra shows. So we talk about movies that no one really wants to talk about, apart from you guys, because like you recently did The Frighteners and we did The Frighteners like years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like we dust off some
our Venn diagrams classics. Crossed, for sure.
Yes.
We love your show, guys. We've been on it many times. So, guys, do yourself a favor and check out Uncut Gems. It is dynamite.
I just want to throw out that Constantine 2 is coming out this year, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, look at that. Okay. We should probably think about some kind of Constantine retrospective. I don't know.
Between Constantine or John Wick minus the first one, absolutely.
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
That's
that,
a tough pitch for someone in the room. Good.
John Wick is kind of like a I feel like the Manchurian Candidate. I'm gonna just like must kill Enrico Palazzo.
Absolutely.
For future reference, you can't mention John Wick or Paddington next to Jacob.
No,
just sets him off.
I can guarantee we will never mention Paddington.
Paddington 2 was dynamite.
Not one, two.
If you have not seen Paddington 2, Hugh Grant, who I have my complaints about, he's kind of a cantankerous old fart, but he is hilarious in Paddington 2. Boom. I said it and I own it. There you go. As you know, what we like to do occasionally is have viewer listener comments, either from emails or social media, referring to our episode of The Pope's Exorcist. Our friends at the Film Rage podcast say, as long as I can listen while my fat ass rides a scooter, I'm in.
Ride your scooter from Rome to Spain in 15 minutes? Absolutely. Was that what it was?
That's a Vespa listen.
Next week, we are doing The M. Night Shyamalan masterpiece, Aaron?
Yes!
Lady in the Water!
I love this movie so much.
Starring Bryce Dallas Howard and Paul Giamatti and others, I'm sure. If you are interested in watching this episode, you gotta spend some money, I'm sad to say.
Fuck. We need a business license. All these terrible movies cost me $5 a week.
Yep. It's $2.89 on Amazon Prime.
Bastards.
On Apple TV and YouTube and Voodoo and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I guess we're going to spend some money this time, guys. I have not seen Lady in the Water.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yep. Uh-oh.
I've seen it.
Uh-oh. I see some wild eyes. No.
I'm one of the seven people in the world who goes like, there's some genius in this movie. I love this film.
It's pretty deep down there, though, I gotta say. Like, it's a fun one to watch for Shyamalan's career, no doubt. However, it doesn't come together.
It's kind of the one that
broke his career because everyone was like, we don't understand a single thing about what's happening here. Thanks very much. But I absolutely, I mean, I really like it. It's a very smart film. I don't know. I'm looking forward to listening to your takes on this. This is going to be amazing.
I'm going to make a psychic prediction that Kevin is going to hate it. I'm just going to put that out there. Somebody
Johnny
dated.
Johnny Carson with the card up?
Yeah.
Yep.
And what... 1/27/2024 at 1:13 p.m. Pacific time. I predict that Kevin will hate Lady in the Water.
We'll see.
You're not wrong.
We'll see. I have a love-hate-hate relationship with M. Night Shyamalan films.
I keep showing up, and he always disappoints.
I typically don't show up, so we'll see what happens. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show.
Oh, you write to us. We'll mention it.
We'll mention it. So thanks again to our friends at Uncut Gems, guys.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
This is amazing.
Absolutely. So thank you very much and be well.
Good day.